out this morning for this wonderful occasion. Allow me to ask the Lord's blessing on our time, and then we're going to go ahead and begin with a short message, and then we'll get to the baptism. Father, we rejoice in your goodness and your kindness this morning, especially in the testimony we're going to get to witness today, Father, the testimony of your transformative power in the lives of sinners. As Chris and Caleb come to be baptized and to identify themselves with Christ, we celebrate this, Lord, and we rejoice with them. And we ask you to bless this time. Bless the preaching of your word here as we do this briefly, and bless the ceremony as well. And I just ask a special blessing upon Chris and Caleb, that you would strengthen them and uphold them in the mighty faith by your mighty hand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ established his church, he, as you all know, gave us two ordinances: baptism and the Lord's table. The Lord's table is an ongoing ordinance, meaning we practice it on a routine basis. Some do it monthly, some do it daily. We here at Grace Bible Chapel, as you know, do it once a week. Baptism, on the other hand, is a one-time ceremony or one-time ordinance. It is properly observed only once in the life of a believer. And it's an act of obedience that symbolizes some very profound spiritual truths. Of course, you all know we're living in a time in Christianity, in church history, where many, especially in the West, do not take seriously this ordinance. They do not do it. They're not obedient in practicing. They neglect to be baptized, and that could be for various reasons. Perhaps they were baptized as an infant, and they don't feel that it's, you know, all that necessary. That's good enough. I did that as a child. Or it could be that they simply don't think it matters that much. We all know that in the first century, to be baptized into Christ's church was a bold and dangerous declaration of your faith, one that brought upon those that did this persecution, rejection by their family, a persecution by the religious leaders, and even the threat of death. Well, today for here, us in America, thankfully, baptism carries little personal risk. Perhaps you might slip and fall and embarrass yourself, but apart from that, there's really no danger. And this lack of real danger of persecution has tragically led some to think that it's optional. It's not really that necessary. While it is true for us here today that our baptism will most likely go unnoticed by the world and pose no threat to our safety, it is no less significant than it was for that early church and for all the saints of God throughout all of history. Baptism represents a clear break from one's old life and a public declaration of your identification with Jesus Christ and his church. And this morning, before we witness Chris and Caleb's baptism, we're going to briefly go over three aspects of baptism: the method, the meaning, and the motive. Quickly, the method. How do we perform baptism? Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, we're going to see Philip here, the apostle, the evangelist, who is being led by the Spirit of God, and he's presenting the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch. This man who has traveled to Jerusalem with his boss, his employer, who happens to be the queen of Ethiopia, and they had come apparently to worship. They were converts. They were Jews. But on the road back home, the eunuch was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah chapter 53, and you see that in verse 32. He's moved by this description of the suffering servant Messiah who would come as a silent sheep to slaughter, humbly offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And he asks Philip, here in verses 34 and 35, he asks him, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And we see that the eunuch immediately responds to this, to the gospel of Jesus Christ in saving faith. In verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" His faith has filled him with the desire to be obedient in baptism. Baptism is the Greek word baptismo. Baptismo. It means to immerse or to sink or to plunge. It was often used to describe, in outside of the Bible, it was used to describe ships sinking in the sea in battle. It does not mean to pour or to sprinkle. The church has transliterated this Greek word, baptismo, into baptize. It describes someone being fully immersed in water. And we see that here in verses 38 and 39. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. We also see this picture of being in the water and coming out of the water at Jesus' baptism, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 16. It says, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. It's pretty clear that the New Testament writers use this word baptismo in the same sense that the rest of the Greek-speaking world used it, that is, immersion. And this would explain the Gospel of John's testimony in John chapter 3, verse 23, when he's describing John the Baptist's ministry. He says, John was also baptizing near Aenon, near Salim, because there was much water there. Aenon and Salim are two little towns that are somewhere about halfway between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee on the Jordan River. Baptism by immersion aligns with the original meaning of the word and with the examples given in the New Testament. It was the method used by Jesus, by John the Baptist, and by the apostles. But perhaps the greatest support for immersion baptism is found in what it represents. Baptism is more than just a ritual. It carries a deeper spiritual meaning. It's not the method or the water itself that's so significant, but what that baptism represents. And this brings us to our second point, the meaning of baptism. Why does baptism matter so much? What is being communicated through this ordinance of baptism? Well, baptism beautifully illustrates the believer's identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And let's consider Paul's explanation of what baptism pictures. In Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." The act of being immersed in water represents our dying and being buried with Christ, symbolizing our dying to sin, our dying to the old way of life. Coming up out of the water powerfully illustrates Christ's resurrection, signifying our new life in him. Because baptism by immersion is the only method that fully depicts being buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, it is the biblical model for baptism. Other practices such as sprinkling and pouring, even infant baptism, these all emerged a little bit later in church history, and they fail to communicate this all-important message. And let's briefly consider each picture presented here in baptism. Our death with Christ. Baptism illustrates that we have died to our old self, to our life of sin. When we place our faith in Christ, we are united with him in death, meaning that the penalty for our sin has been paid in full through his sacrifice. We all know that the wages of sin is death, right? We all And so we see that our baptism declares that our debt has been paid in Christ Jesus. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, at the beginning of that verse, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Baptism symbolizes the end of our old life, the life that we lived apart from Christ, a life that we lived in sin. Second, our burial with him. Being immersed in the water signifies being buried with Christ. Just as Christ was laid in the tomb, so too are we, through baptism, visually declaring that our old life has been put to rest. Look here again in Romans 6:4. He says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. The burial aspect of baptism represents that the dominion of sin is finished. The old way of life is no longer part of who we are in Christ. And then thirdly, our resurrection with Christ. Coming up out of the water visibly represents Christ's resurrection. Again, a resurrection to new life with him, in him. Galatians 3:20, where he begins, I have been crucified with Christ, he concludes, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, just as Jesus rose from the dead by the power of God, we too are raised to live a transformed life, empowered by the Holy Spirit and freed from the power of sin in our lives. Romans 6:4 continues. He says, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism proclaims that we are now living in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, equipped to live for his glory and to grow in holiness through sanctification. But it also points to our future resurrection as well, doesn't it? Just as we rise from the water, one day we will rise with Christ in glory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes, for the Lord himself will descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So you see, baptism connects our past, our present, and our future with Jesus Christ. It's very important to note that although baptism represents this death, burial, and resurrection with Christ, it is essential to understand that the baptism itself does not save us. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, just as Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us. You all know that. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized, was he? No, but he certainly met Christ in paradise that very day. Baptism is not the cause of our salvation, but a picture of it. A picture of the reality that has already taken place in our hearts. It is an outward display of the inward transformation that occurs when we place our trust in Jesus Christ alone. Through baptism, we publicly declare that we have died to sin, that our old self has been buried with Christ, and that we are now raised to walk in newness of life. It's a testimony, not a means of salvation. This is what biblical baptism is. It's a beautiful, God-ordained picture of the gospel. It reflects our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so lastly, what is the motive? The motive for believers' baptism. Well, this one's pretty easy to understand. There's three primary motives. First of all, we do this because we believe, because we have faith. Belief always comes before baptism in the Bible. Acts 2:41, those who had received his word were baptized. Acts 10:46-48, the Gentiles who had heard the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter, in verse 48, ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, he and his family believed. And in verse 33, it says, and he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately He was baptized, he and his whole household. And of course, Acts 8, where we began with the Ethiopian eunuch, he believed and then he sought baptism. The first motive for baptism is that we are believers. The second motive is because we're commanded to. We're commanded to, and our Lord himself in Matthew 28:19 in the Great Commission tells us to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is not an option. It's a requirement. It's a command by our Lord. Just as we call him Lord, we are to obey his commands. Jesus, despite being without sin, set the example for us, being obedient to the Father, even unto the cross, and he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And he calls every believer to follow in obedience. And a third reason is because it is our joyful privilege to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism isn't just an act of obedience. It's a public declaration of our faith and our allegiance to Christ. Through baptism, we tell the world that we belong to him, that we are unashamed of our Savior and the gospel, and that we desire to live a life that glorifies him, no matter what that looks like here on earth. Paul reminds us in Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe." Baptism is one of the first ways a believer testifies to the power of the gospel in their lives. Baptism is a public declaration of faith. Like a wedding ring signifies someone is married, baptism signifies you belong to Christ. It is saying, I am his, he is mine, and I'm not ashamed. So in conclusion, we practice believer's baptism by immersion because every baptism preaches the gospel. It's a visible testimony that Jesus saves sinners and transforms lives. It is not what saves the sinner. It is not what sanctifies the sinner, but it is a declaration of the spiritual rebirth that has already taken place in the heart of that sinner through faith in Jesus Christ. It is an act of obedience to our Lord that brings great blessings, just as that Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing in verse 39. Joy always follows obedience to our Lord. Baptism doesn't save. It's a symbol. It's a proclamation and an act of obedience. And so we don't want to get so focused on the symbol that we miss the Savior. And so if you believe in Jesus with your whole heart, then, and you have not done this, then take the next step and be baptized. And so I'm going to wrap things up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and move on into the baptismal. Alrighty. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for this ordinance that you've given us, a way that we can verbally testify to your amazing power of salvation that's already worked in our hearts. We pray for this ceremony, Lord. I ask you that you would bless it, and that you would bless the testimonies of Chris and Caleb, and that you would fill them, Father, with the joy that comes through obedience to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All righty, I need about 5 minutes.